In the social media world of selfies, likes, and shares, NBL is your lifeline for real talk about real stuff.
So good to have you along here as we kick off our week together. It's the week when spring begins. Thank you, Jesus. That's what I just got to say. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so done with winter right now. Lisa Kratz-Thomas joins us, Kathy Gray as well. Lisa lives, I think, in Virginia near D.C. Are you actually in that area right now, Lisa?
I am today. I am at home, and I'm loving it.
All right. Well, you guys have a fairly, I mean, you experience some seasonal change and stuff, but it's probably, you probably have the cherry blossoms coming out like later this week or something. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Flowers are coming out. It's a little bit warmer here. We're a little bit south in Virginia. So, yeah, it's beautiful. Spring is getting ready to spring.
Right. We're sort of, you know, like you can kind of sense something in the air, but we're still a few weeks away from anything like that. Kathy Gray, you're from Texas. Are you in Texas today, Kathy?
Yeah, I'm in Texas. I'm actually from Colorado, but I've been in Texas for 21 years and so happy to be here. But, you know, we've had a really rough, you know, we've had temperatures down below 30, you know, and now it's only getting up to 67 today. So you can really pray for us down here.
You know, actually, we used to like you until you just said that. So, no, not anymore.
Oh, well, call back in August, and you can pity us then.
Exactly.
For real.
Yeah. Well, my niece and my brother live right there in Plano, and so sometimes, you know, I talk to them
great.
In the summer, and it's like, and they're like, oh, it's 130 or something, whatever.
It's not very fun.
Crazy. But it's fun to be able to connect, and I'm really looking forward to step 11, only because, and I don't want to jump ahead, but because that's the day you guys are going to be sitting right here in studio, Lord willing, and we'll get a chance to do it face-to-face. So that is going to be cool. But we're on step 8 today of the 12 steps that we've been working our way through. You guys are co-authors of a book called Light in Our Darkness. I was talking about it just a few minutes ago on the air and letting people know it's a book you want to get your hands on if you can. And I mentioned that both of you are going to be at City Church in Batavia on Sunday, April 7th. And we would love to have any in our listening audience who want to meet Lisa and Kathy come and join us. Pastor Marty McDonald is the lead pastor there, and he's a wonderful brother in Christ. You're going to love Marty and his wife, Patty, and it's a great church. It's going to be awesome. So we're looking forward to that. We'll continue to promote it until the day arrives, but here we are, step 8, and I got a feeling that forgiveness and restitution, those two ideas are going to somehow be intertwined today. Lisa, tell us what step 8 is in the 12-step series.
All righty. Step 8 says, made a list of persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Made a list of persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. So this step is about preparing to make those amends. You know, Neil, it's kind of awesome, but the more I work the steps, the more that I realized that I just could not change people. I mean, I was always under the impression that if I was just good enough, nice enough, sweet enough, attractive enough, smart enough, that I could change the people around me. But what the steps helped me realize is that I could change how I responded to others. And I know that's a logical concept, but you know, for me it wasn't. And this really gave me a lot of hope that I could change how I responded to others.
Well, amen to that. And much of what you're describing right now is outlined in the book. It was like it was your pursuit in life to try to change others, but what a great relief we experience when we realize that, you know, God can change us and we can pray about situations, but that we have to let go of that component. And that wasn't easy for you to get to that point. I mean, that was your struggle.
Absolutely. And because here's the thing, when, as we've talked about through all of these steps, and really these steps are designed to bring us closer to the Lord, and that we can decrease and that He can increase. But for me, when you grow up in an atmosphere where you are around conditional situations, you don't really understand unconditional love, and you're in a shame-based environment. You have to have control over something, and so naturally for me, I tried to get control over everyone else and how they treated me and how I interacted with them.
Well, that's a recipe for disaster, and we can talk about that some more in a minute. But let me ask Kathy for a second, as we deal with step eight here, and it's about making a list and being willing to make amends for those that we've hurt. Why is a list necessary? Why can't we just think about some of the things that have happened? What's the point of the list?
Well, let me tell you, I was all about, let's fix this problem, let's fix it now, and I'm usually going to do it with my mouth, and I'm sure if I just say the right thing that you're going to come around and everything will be okay and I can go back to feeling secure about myself. That is very common for people who've grown up around some sort of addiction, dysfunction, substance abuse. We're fixers. We want to fix everything, fix you, fix me. And so this is a really good step for us, because making a list actually makes us stop, pause, consider, and then become willing. We don't even know where our unwillingness lies, because we just think, you know, well, we've been running on our self-will and on our best thinking. And so we don't really understand, oh, wait a minute, I really don't want to make amends to so-and-so. And so, you know, from kind of where I was and people that I work with, we have these two extremes of, like, nothing's my fault, everything's my fault. And both of those are really destructive. So I need to make a list with the counsel of a sponsor and others in order to actually see outside my perspective what's my part and what's someone else's part. And how do I go about this? So big, huge pause before we go out there making amends and possibly making everything worse than it was to begin with.
Okay, well, you guys, take a second and expound on that. But also, let me ask, and there's the possibility we could make things worse, okay? So, Kathy, you handle that, and then I'm going to ask Lisa if it's possible that when we make the list, we have to ask God to forgive us for lying because we kept some things off the list because we knew we'd have to make amends. And so, you know, shouldn't we also be examining what isn't on the list that maybe should be? But let me go back to Kathy for a second, because you're implying that this process isn't fail-safe. Like, it isn't just automatic that it's going to be great. We literally have to bathe this thing in prayer and very carefully, as you said, with the help of a sponsor, decide what really needs to be pursued.
Yeah. So, you know, I feel so uncomfortable, and we've been addressing that in the first seven steps. I'm so uncomfortable because I haven't had a good idea of who I am, what I own, that God is actually big enough in my life to restore me to sanity. So I am running on, I'm still learning how to not run on those, that huge drive to make myself feel okay with life and okay with myself. So I could easily go into a situation without any counsel and without praying about it. Right. I could go into a situation, start owning things that aren't mine, start evaluating what they did, start bringing in things that they did and explaining myself. It just makes a huge mess. Or I could go to someone that I actually don't owe an amend to, but the relationship is fractured, and I just want to try and make it, you know, repair that relationship. And I actually don't have a part in that at this time. We just need the counsel of people who have a better perspective than we do from outside ourselves, have been watching, walking with us, in order to have some wisdom about who and how to approach this.
Okay. Lisa, you might want to add something to that, but I also threw out the possibility that maybe we're not entirely honest when we make up the list. Isn't that a possibility?
Well, it's always a possibility, but here's the thing. The steps are in order for a reason. And if we go back and reflect upon just the last you know, the 4th, the 5th, the 6th, and the 7th. I mean, you get pretty darn honest during your 4th step. And you know, look, it's easy for me to look at other people and see their faults. But the 4th step is the thing that brought out all of those impurities in me, if you will, and the root of what was going on. So, you know, you do that 4th and 5th, and the 5th is you're opening yourself up in the presence of another human being and God. And then what do? We find out what our shortcomings are. God reveals them to us. And then in step 7 is we humbly ask him to remove them. So step 8, yes, there's always a chance that we could leave something out. This is just like step 4. This is not, we're not going to be graded. It's not an exam.
Right.
We don't have to get 100% on it. But what we have to do is, what it says in the step, we have to be, we become willing to make amends to them all. So, for example, you know, the good news of having a sponsor is you may be going through and writing some things down, let's say some family things, and you don't even realize, let's say you have a beef with your mother or father or something, you don't realize that maybe a younger sibling was affected by something that you did. It's not even something it's not denial. It's not. It's just you just never could imagine that your actions affected that person.
Mm-hmm.
But someone from the outside can certainly see that and help you. And, you know, most people I know myself and people that I've created this list with for them, at this point, you're just so darn willing to do what it is that you have to do. And I mean that.
Mm-hmm.
I have never experienced, and, you know, I've worked with probably, I would say, a good 50 to 75 men and women over the last 28 years on this step. And I've never experienced anyone who did not have the willingness. Now, they may not have really wanted to do it. It may have been one of those things like, hey, I'm going to put that on the back burner for right now, but I know I still need to do it. Does that make any sense?
Sure, yeah. And Kathy, you're sounding like you're wanting to jump in. What are you thinking about this?
I'm just so impressed with what Lisa's sharing. I'm like, you go. I think that's amazing that in terms of leaving someone off the list, Lisa hit the nail on the head by saying that we're really trying to be thorough in these steps. And people who get into the rooms of 12-step recovery usually have, you know, failed in every other way. So there is a lot of built-in willingness that keeps building on itself as we see God transform us. But the collateral damage that she talked about, it could be that, like she said, you have a beef with your mom or dad, and then your sponsor says, by the way, wasn't your sibling watching while all this was going down? And you're like, oh,
yeah,
they need to be on the list too. Well, and so there's that kind of awareness.
And in that case, it's kind of inadvertent. If I don't know if that's the right word, but I mean, it's not like intentional that you would leave them off the list. It's just that it wasn't on your radar screen, as Lisa indicated.
Right.
But I'm also thinking about, you know, that maybe we recognize that we hurt some people. But, well, like having read your story, you know, you guys experienced hurtful things in your own past. And so, you know, in our brokenness, we do stuff to try to comfort ourselves and to try to find relief from the problems we're facing. So we end up hurting other people. But then as you look at that and say, well, maybe I owe them an apology, the enemy comes along and goes, yeah, but remember what they did to you that caused you to do it? So like that there's almost an unwillingness to address it as well. Like, it could be either, I'm thinking. Like, you know, inadvertent because we're not aware, or intentional because we say, I'm not ready to ask forgiveness for that person or try to make amends because they're a jerk, you know? I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Am I off base here?
No. You know, it's funny because I remember when I did this list, and my sponsor at the time, I had a male sponsor who was helping me through this particular aspect, and he had been sexually abused by an uncle for a long time in his life. And he told me, he said, I hated this man. I prayed every day that he would die. He goes, I prayed the most horrible things would happen to this man. And he said, when I got to this step and I was asking people to forgive me, he said, halfway through, I felt like God was urging me to apologize, to make an amend to my uncle who had abused me for how I reacted to him, that I literally wanted revenge. I wanted him to die. And he said, I refuse. In my heart of hearts, Lisa, he said, I wasn't doing that. Mm-hmm. He said, there's no way. You are the one. He said, and I remember these words so clearly. He was the one who caused this. He was the one. And he said, finally, what I had to realize was that I was the one who made the decision to put the alcohol and the drugs into my body, and that I'm the only one who can release this in the presence of God. And I got to tell you, Neil, when this man told me that, it blew my mind. I was like, I couldn't even wrap my mind around that. I'm like, I mean, really? And it took me months. And that's the good thing about this. It's not like you're making this list to go out to do it tomorrow. It may be, but it's not necessary that it's going to be. But, you know, getting back a little bit to the list, and then I'll let this go. But, you know, you don't do – let's say you want to go to the bank to borrow money. You've got to create for a business, you've got to create a business plan. You've got to have something on paper. You've got to know what direction you're going in. And so that's kind of what this does when you put this on paper. It's kind of like a plan that helps you navigate those different aspects that you may run into, just like when my sponsor shared with me that unbelievable, you know, realization of the forgiveness that he had to, you know, the level of forgiveness he had to come to really be free.
Well, I, again, have as many questions as I have, about what you're describing here as that I'm sure are popping up in the minds of other people. So we're going to have to take a break. When we come back, we'll dig into some of those. But this is really ultimately about forgiveness and healing and going through the process of making restitution if necessary, making amends for those that we've harmed. And outside the 12 steps, because somebody might say, well, I've not been involved in a 12-step program or recovery group or something. This really doesn't apply to me. Well, wait a second here. We hurt people. We offend people all the time. Is there someone you need to make amends to today that we can talk about this? So whatever your situation, whether you're in a 12-step group or not, today's conversation is vital because it has a lot to do with human relationships and taking responsibility for our own actions. What is God saying to us in the midst of this conversation? Think about that, and we'll continue with Lisa Kratz-Thomas and Kathy Gray in just a moment.
Stuck in traffic? NBL is heard on WDCX FM 99.5 and two other radio stations that reach Southern Ontario. Just for fun, switch over for a second and see if you can pick us up on AM 970 or AM 990. Oh, go ahead. The car ahead of you isn't going anywhere.
Yeah, you can check us out in a variety of places, and please pay attention to what I'm saying here. If you're in the Toronto area in particular or parts of Southern Ontario where you're having a hard time picking up FM 99.5, we simulcast on AM 970, and that's what that's all about. And sometime just for fun, switch over to AM 970 or even AM 990, and you may be able to pick us up. AM 990 comes out of Rochester, and I guarantee there's some folks in Oshawa and, what is it, Port Perry up there? Port something. Port Dover? I don't know. Help me out. I'm not a guy who's good on geography, but I do know that there is a landmass to the east of Oshawa. Okay. Peterborough, yeah. Try AM 990 or AM 970 in one of those places. I know Omimi is a good place to check as well. All right, let's get back to it. Lisa Kratz-Thomas and Kathy Gray are co-authors of the book called Light in Our Darkness. Their stories are told there, intertwined, interestingly, with the story of Dr. Bernard Nathanson, a renowned abortionist. You say, what do these three have in common? It's fascinating what they did in that book. They also used to host fascinating what they did in that book to underscore and outline God's grace and mercy and how he put the pieces of their lives back together again, offered the forgiveness and healing that was necessary, including in the life of Bernard Nathanson, and all of it's told in that book. But let's come back to it here, because what we're talking about today essentially is the process of asking for forgiveness and being willing to make restitution. And I know Scripture talks about that. So let me just say, you know, we try to highlight where these principles are found in Scripture, and I wonder if either one of you, maybe beginning with Lisa, can talk about this particular step and what you see, you know, in terms of its biblical roots?
Well, it's all over the Bible. I mean, it's just everywhere. I mean, to me, the most obvious of the scriptures is in Matthew, where it says, you know, if you're offering a gift at the altar and you remember that you have something against your brother, he has something against you, the Lord's saying, leave the altar and go make it right with him. Go make it right. And I think that it's so important to the Lord. I mean, you know, what did he say when he hung on the cross? Forgive them, Father, because they don't know what they're doing. And so the theme of forgiveness and making amends and making things right is extremely prevalent, in throughout the Bible, I believe. I also love in Proverbs where it says, you know, through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Though the fear of the Lord, through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided. When the Lord takes pleasure in anyone's way, he causes their enemies to make peace with them. And we are told to love our enemies, to make peace with our enemies. And if we're supposed to do that with our enemies, how much more are we supposed to do it with those people who we love and that we're in relationship with?
Yeah. Kathy, you want to add to that?
No, I think she did a perfect job of that. Okay. Really, it is all over the scriptures, as she said.
Well, let me add just a quick story here, just to kind of make it real practical. Because sometimes, you know, as we talk, it could sound like theory on a chalkboard or something, but this is real life stuff. As a kid, young man, I was not sure where I was headed, you know, in terms of a career and stuff. I was thinking Christian radio, but I had a passion as well for youth ministry and thought for a while maybe I'd want to be a youth pastor. Later, interestingly, I did serve as a youth pastor for a couple of years. But during that whole process, I had a chance one summer to serve alongside a guy that, you know, kind of worked with the senior high group. I worked with the middle schoolers, the junior high group. And, you know, we were even paid a small stipend to work together that summer. And, you know, it was fascinating. I really loved the whole process. But what I came to realize was that he was somebody who had a calmer demeanor than I did. I, back in the day, had a really fiery temper. It's not that I can't ever show that temper, you know, but God's brought it under control by his grace. I mean, there's been so many changes, but, you know, I was a sore loser, and I don't know, it wasn't like we were in competition, but in a sense we were, because we were both working in youth ministry that summer, and he was very well-liked. He was peaceful, you know. I would get more flustered if things weren't working out. He just, he had qualities about him that I envied and later became jealous of, but I didn't tell him that. So in social settings, I'd make, you know, comments towards him and, you know, make jokes. And people would laugh and ha-ha. But, you know, that sometimes sarcasm has a biting truth to it. And what I was really jabbing at him because I was jealous of him. Well, years later, as I began to pray through some stuff in my life, God began saying, you know, there's people you've hurt in your life that you need to ask forgiveness for and from, you know, and I began to make a list. I made a list, and I wasn't going through a 12-step program at that point, but God directed me to make a list, and his name showed up, and I thought, I haven't seen him in years. I don't know where I'd find him, but I'm willing. It's interesting I'm using that term, but, you know, that was what was going on in my heart. I was like, God, I'll ask forgiveness and do what I can to make it right, if possible, because we just kind of broke off that friendship, and I just pushed him to the side and marginalized him in my life and went on with my life. But I owed him an apology. So I said, Lord, if you can show me how to find him, I will ask his forgiveness. And about a week later, somebody asked for a ride to the airport in Norfolk, Virginia, and I was going to school in Virginia Beach at Regent at the time, getting a master's, and so somebody said they needed to get to the airport. I said, I'll take you. In the old days, you didn't need, you know, to go through security. You could just take a person right to the gate. And so I just stayed with my friend. We went to the gate, and we're waiting for the plane to arrive so he can take off. And as the previous plane arrives, the door opens, and this guy walks out. And I'm thinking, good Lord, here we go. And, you know, I pulled him off. And first of all, we were thrilled to see each other because we were from the same hometown and everything. But I said, you know what, I got to talk to you about something. And he's like, what? And I got, you know, how it gets serious all of a sudden. And I asked his forgiveness. And, you know, God did something that day. I'm sure he must have thought I was a little crazy because it was all these. It was years later, you know. But God did a work in mending that relationship. We're still friends today. He's a pastor, and we maintained a great friendship. We later played on the same team, softball together and stuff. But I grew that day. God did something in me. I needed God, I needed what God did in my life in taking me through that process. So I don't know who wants to comment, but to me, when I hear you guys talking about all this, from a 12-step perspective, I look back at that moment and go, I think that was kind of what God was asking me to do in that circumstance. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Neil, I'll jump in here because I always think it's amazing when someone, you know, not going through these outline steps, this is just so from the Lord. He takes us through it, and that's what happened with you. It was like, you know, you really need to make amends to these people. And the thing that I see in that story, in that true story in your life, is that humility and the willingness. Those are the two characteristics that are behind this step. You had a humility to say, I'm willing to do this, and then you humbled yourself. You exposed where you had been in the wrong. You took the risk of rejection, and just, it's embarrassing. Come on, we all want to think that we're doing it right all the time.
Sure.
And the Lord rewarded that. And not only did he reward that, but you talked about something breaking loose in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're working these steps because we want to get right with God and man, but God wants us to work these steps because he's like, I have so much more for you, and we need to get this out of the way, and we need to bring these character defects up to the surface and let me remove them so that you can do what I created you to do. And that's what I see, because, you know, he gives grace to the humble, but he opposes. There's an opposition when we stay in pride. And so I think that's a beautiful illustration of what can happen through this step. Well, through the next step, which would be 9, but you started by step 8, which is the list.
Right. And really began when I know that God was pressing on my heart to do something about it, and it wasn't easy. Like, I'm not patting myself on the back here. I really wrestled with this, you know, and I felt foolish and ashamed. And who wants to admit that they were, you know, had all these petty jealousies because they weren't liked as much as the other person, but I was desperate to be liked, and it was a real problem in my early life, and, you know, God's done so much. I wish I could say that was the only thing he needed to do to make me whole. It's been a long journey. But anyhow, we're going to take a break here and continue our conversation. I want to stay on track because I'm afraid at the end that we're going to get a whole bunch of phone calls again and not be able to get to them all. So let's stay on track. We'll continue in a moment with Lisa Kratz-Thomas and Kathy Gray, co-authors of the book Light in Our Darkness. We've been working through 12 steps, the 12-step programs. Both of them have been involved in ministry for years, I mean, even decades in 12-step programs. You have questions or comments that you want to ask, now's a great time. Get in early, you know, because you may formally have been in a 12-step program before, so you have a testimony to share about step 8 and what it was like for you to arrive at step 8 and know that God was asking you to be willing to make amends. What did that look like? What was that process like? You can use an alias name if you want. Some of you may have never been in a 12-step program, but you know full well you've hurt people in your life, and you've wondered how in the world you could approach them. When do you know to bring something up from the past and address it and take responsibility for it and try to make amends? Or when do you let sleeping dogs lie? Because there may be certain things that you shouldn't bring up. We alluded to that earlier. We can identify what that looks like and try to help you through the process. But there's something to be gained here, and I hope just by telling my story you can hear that I really personally believe that God wants to use these things to grow us to be more like Jesus. And there was stuff in my life, hidden jealousy and petty jealousy, that God wanted to deliver me from, that kept me from looking like Jesus. And it was not easy to get to that point, but I know that I found an incredible amount of freedom that day when I was able to look my friend in the eye and ask forgiveness and be willing to make amends and offer to do whatever I could to make that right. So you have questions, you have comments. Now's the time to call. Don't wait till later in the show when we're jammed up with a bunch of other callers that, you know, we're not able to get to. 800-684-2848, 883-5000 in the greater Buffalo area if you want to join us. It's 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. Let's hear from you. What is God saying to your heart? I want to hear some questions and comments from your perspective, and we'll continue with more in just a moment.
Want to be more than just a listener? Here's suggestion number 3 on how to become an actual NBL participant. Support our advertisers.
All right, let's get to it. We got a bunch of calls here we're going to have to get to, and we'll just take them in the order they came. We've got Kathy Gray and Lisa Thomas with us, co-authors of Light in Our Darkness. Go to lisakratzthomas.com for more details, K-R-A-T-Z. But I'm not sure who's first. I guess calls from Randolph. Is it Terry from Randolph? Is that who it is?
Yes.
Okay, Terry, you're on NBL here with Lisa and Kathy. Go ahead.
All right, I don't want to sound all deep and profound here, but I have a person I treat badly a lot. And the person is God. I do. And what I do is I treat him like he's a child abuser. Because every time I fail, and I have things, I fail a lot. Instead of believing his grace is sufficient for me, I get all afraid. He's going to get me. He's not going to bless me now. It's going to be a bad week. And I've never experienced that happening. I've always experienced him coming up and giving me a hug and loving me and say, let's get up and get going. But I constantly and habitually mistrust him and treat him like he's always been bad to me when he's always been good to me. And I literally just prayed before you guys answered the phone with tears coming down my cheeks saying, Lord, please forgive me for treating you that way. It's wrong, and I know it's wrong, but I keep doing it.
Wow, interesting. All right. Anybody want to respond to what Terry is saying here?
Oh, I do. Terry, thank you so much for calling, number one. I mean, it's hard to be that brutally honest and transparent. But the first thing that came up in me when you were saying that is it's fear. And what is fear? What do the acronyms mean? False evidence appearing real. So there's something that's happened to you somewhere in your life that has made you feel that way. And I can relate because, you know, there for many years, even when God had, you know, my life had turned around, I felt like I had made amends, I still doubted God because I had lived on my own self-will for so long that I really didn't understand the total grace of God and the fact that no matter how many times I don't live up to whatever expectations I have set for myself, that God will never, ever leave me. And it took years for that to set into my heart. Now, once I started to get this realization, like you're talking about, one of the types of amends that was suggested to me in situations like this is a living amend. First of all, we can't make any amends 100%. We can give it our best every day, and if we fail, then we try our best the next day. However, what was suggested to me was you make a living amend. And what is that? Every day when I get up, I have a new opportunity to say, God, I trust you and I love you. I failed yesterday. I thought that you were out to get me. I thought that you were the boogeyman. But God, again, you proved to me that you are there, that you are graceful, and that you love me. And so today, Father, my amend to you is I'm going to surrender this fear I have and this doubt I have, and I today am going to walk in this amend of believing that you love me and that you're there for me. And you know what, Terry, if you have to do that 20 times a day, then do it 20 times a day. But eventually, your first reaction will change. And it's just making ourselves aware of that. And the fact that you called and you shared that is so huge. You're really on your way. You just need a little fine-tuning. So, you know, I so relate, though, to that because I always thought God didn't really like me too much. So it was like, you know, I don't know. Do you like me? Don't you like me? I see what you're doing, your love, how you're clearing the path for my life. So it just took a little bit of time and a little fine tuning.
Yeah, Lord, be with Terry as he continues on that journey and allow him to experience full deliverance one day for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, Terry, thanks for that phone call. We're going to move along here to Dave in Buffalo, and we'll get to May after the break. But, Dave, you had a comment. You've been listening. What's up, Dave?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yep, we got you.
Okay. I've been a Christian for a while, and I'm very, 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 very glad to hear 12 Steps discussion on a Christian radio station, because for me it has proven to be extremely useful. Like I said, I was a Christian before I was in 12 Steps. Family member addiction issues got me into a 12-step program and exposed me to the 12 Steps and urged me to work through them. And for a while, I thought that, why do I have to do this stuff? Because I have the God of the universe on my side, so to speak, rather than me being on his side. But that's the way I was thinking at the time. So the 12 Steps, walking through the 12 Steps as a formula, if you want to call it that, the Holy Spirit has, for me personally, that's my experience, gently shown me the roadblocks that I put in God's way, where I'm not releasing my will, where I'm stopping God's intervening in my life. I'm not turning my will over. So anyway, it's been a wonderful process. I work with some, now I go to meetings for myself. I work with some teens as well who are in family addiction issues as well. They're not in addiction, but the family has an addiction issue mm-hmm. somewhere. So it's to me, it's actually, it's like a pre-step. I mean, I see some people have no concept of God, and especially the kids nowadays, but it's coming from families that have addiction issues. It's such a crazy scenario that they can, for me, it's a ministry that can turn into them perhaps at some point entertaining Christianity. So,
well, I think these ladies may be inclined to completely agree with you. I don't know entirely, but Kathy, why don't you comment?
Yeah, Dave, thank you so much. That is such an encouraging story, and I completely relate because, you know, you talk about roadblocks and how the Holy Spirit used the 12 steps in your life to reveal roadblocks. And when you happen to be the individual in a family or friendship or work setting that is not personally in the substance abuse, it can feel like it's their problem. You know, like I know I don't feel very good about this situation, but it's really their problem. And once we start going through the 12 steps, we recognize all of the ways that we've built up ideas that aren't true about God. You mentioned, I thought, you know, God was on my side, as opposed to me getting in line with his will and what he had planned. And I think that was beautifully spoken, because for those who don't have these obvious gross, you know, drug addict or, you know, stealing things or whatever, but we feel this chaos in us, and there's a lot of anxiety, and we don't know, people just aren't doing what we think they should, and so the world's not okay. We get into 12 step and God starts revealing things that we just can't see. Because I would have told you, like Terry's call, I would have told you, I thought I would tell you God loved me. I knew he loved me, and there wasn't anything I could do to change his love or earn his love. That is not how I lived my life. I lived my life like I was on a contractual basis with God. If I do this, then he has to do this for me. And if I don't do the right thing, then he's not going to come through for me. And that is like living with, he said it perfectly, a child abuser. And so I just love both of these calls, because they describe how we don't actually know what's really going on inside of us. And the 12 steps are a great way, great tool that God uses to expose those things.
No doubt. All right, we're going to continue in just a moment. Kathy Gray and Lisa Thomas, our guests. Dave, thanks for the call. We will continue with Susanna and May and the rest of you. 1-800-684-2848 or 883-5000.
Want to be more than just a listener? Here's suggestion number two on how to become an actual NBL participant. Tell your friends to listen.
Sure have enjoyed working through the 12 steps here with Lisa Kratz Thomas and Kathy Gray, co-authors of Light in Our Darkness. And we've got phone calls to get to as we continue our conversation. If you've just tuned in, today we're focused on step 8 of the 12 steps, which says, made a list of the persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Which was not easy to say because I was trying to read that through my new reading glasses here and wasn't working. I got rid of the readers and now I've got real glasses. I mean, these are the expensive kind, but they're like bifocals, and all of a sudden they distorted on me and I'm like, I can't read this. Help. I'm getting old. All right, back to it here. And May, we're going to get to your phone call you've been holding. Susanna, right after that, if you want to join us, it's 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. So, Susanna, hang on. But, May, you had a quick comment you wanted to make in listening to our conversation today. What's up, May?
I just wanted to say it doesn't really have anything to do with your 12-step program. What it has to do with is our Lord. So many times people say, well, does God hear me? And God doesn't do miracles anymore. Well, that's not true. I just wanted to lift the glory up to him today because on November 7th, I got a letter from, not a letter, I got a message from Jesus from Jerusalem. And I was in a very, very sad way, very sad, crying. And I was just, what was happening bothered me more. I wasn't sleeping. And I always believe in the Lord because he's never let me down. And if people only knew how close he is and how he really hears you, and he's not to blame for the bad in the world. He's there to change it if you'll let him.
Amen to that. Well, all right. Maybe the takeaway from this phone call is the idea that while the enemy wants us to believe everything in the world is hopeless, that we serve a God who's alive and well and interested in our well-being, and he hasn't abandoned us. So, I don't know, I guess there had to be times, Lisa, particularly in your life, good Lord, you were up and down for so long, wondering if... you could be loved by anybody, including God, and wondered if you had any value in this world whatsoever. But God kept sending you signals along the way that you were, in fact, loved.
He absolutely did. I mean, he put people in my life. He put situations in my life. He opened up avenues for me. And, you know, May, you just hit the nail right on the head that if everybody knew. But, you know, Satan's job is to keep us separate from that, to create disunity. And I really think... Kathy and I were talking about this before the show, that not only is this step so valuable for people who are going through the 12 steps, but look at our world right now. There is such disunity, and Satan is utilizing that to keep us at war with each other. And I think one of the hardest things to do is to say to someone, maybe you've got a strong opinion about something, and you believe that it's right, and then all of a sudden you get an awakening from the Lord, and you realize that your opinion or your stance on something was not right. I think in this hostile day and age, it's very difficult for people to say to other people, to admit, look, what I was thinking, I don't know why I was thinking that. It was wrong. And so I believe that creating willingness and creating a list, and what we're talking about today, it extends far. It has much more far reach, you know, reach than just people who are working through 12 steps. Because our world right now, being humble enough to say, I'm sorry, and would you please forgive me? Or even, I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but what I do know is it's causing discord, and we've got to find a way to come to terms with this. Because you're right, May. God is love. He is there for the solution, not the problem. So I appreciate your call. It's just beautiful to be beautifully and kindly reminded of those things.
Amen. May, thanks for the phone call. Let me get to Susanna here real quick, and you've been holding for a while, so I don't want to leave you out there too long. Susanna, you're actually giving us a brief update on last week's call, but you're going to have to remind us, for the sake of all of our listeners, what that call was about.
Well, actually, Neil, I called in 3 weeks ago. I was very, very, very burdened with my situation. It was near the end of the time with Lisa and
Kathy,
and so it was just a quick prayer. But that was Monday. On the Tuesday, I went to a Celebrate Recovery meeting. I've been going ever since. And it's been just awesome because the burden has been lifted. I'm still dealing with the situation, but the heaviness has just really, really lifted. So I just want to encourage people that if they are afraid of going, if they're afraid of doing something different, they have to do it because it just doesn't. It won't change. It's that definition of insanity, I think, that one of them had said a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
So.
For sure. Well, praise God. That's a great report. Kathy, you want to respond to Susanna?
Oh, this is so exciting. I'm so thankful for what God's done in your life. And she stated it beautifully, you know, well, the circumstance hasn't actually changed, but she has found encouragement and relief and hope, and God is meeting her where she is. And, you know, something they say often in the 12 steps is that this is an inside job. We come in sometimes thinking, if only my circumstances will change, then I will be happy. Then I'll know God loves me. Then I'll be at peace. Then I can get on with my life. And the reality is, it's an inside job, and we can continue to walk in the peace of the Lord like Paul did with all of the different kinds of circumstances he found himself in.
Yeah.
So this is just super encouraging. I'm so glad you called back, Susanna.
Yeah, thank you so much. And Susanna,
awesome. And
go ahead.
Just one quick comment that I did buy your book, and so I'm halfway through, and I just can't wait to get through the other half.
Well, hey, you know what?
Thank you.
Susanna, just for fun, let me just throw it out there. You're in Niagara Falls, Canada. I don't know if you have a passport,
Yes. But
you're only about an hour from Batavia, where they're going to be on Sunday morning,
April 7th.
So why don't you hop over and come meet them? That would be awesome.
I might do that.
All right. Thanks, Susanna. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You know, on the heels of what she's saying, and Kathy, I think you used the term inside job. This is an inside job. Yeah, we can't change our circumstances, and we can't change other people, but we can let God change us. And to tie it back to step 8, when I told the story earlier of what I feel like God was saying to me as a young man, that I needed to go ask for someone's forgiveness and try to make it right because I had been unkind, I'd been jealous, I'd said some nasty things, and I had a broken relationship that needed to be fixed. What I ended up telling you was I'm not sure how that may have been used in the other individual's life, although we have a great relationship today. I've not heard, you know, lengthy stories about how wonderful it was that I came up and said those things. I don't know how he was affected, but I do know that I grew through it and that God used it monumentally in my own life to help me learn how to trust him and not be afraid of the kinds of change he wanted to bring about in me. And I guess it also kind of, you know, served as a great reminder for the future that, hey, look at God is in the business of, you know, conforming us to the image of Christ. He's going to be doing some work in us, and we don't need to fear that. It's actually for our good. So I don't know, maybe as we get ready to go into break here, Lisa, if you could comment for just a second about, I mean, there's some pain involved in this process, but ultimately we work through this stuff and we encounter God in this stuff for his glory and for our transformation, right? It's about us finding the freedom of who we were created to be in the first place and saying goodbye to the past.
Well, it totally is. And it's also, as you and I were talking about during the break, it's God's love and his ability to open your heart with that love is supernatural. We can't understand that as human beings. But one thing about this step and the thing that really captures me is I don't have to worry about how, what, or where as far as these amends go. I just need to focus on why I need to make them. And when I focus on why I need to make them for myself, God is the one who opens those doors. And just like he did for you, I mean, you became willing, Neil, and God took care of the where, you know, the what, and the place, and provided the opportunity.
Yep.
And I think that also, just that whole concept is so freeing, because it's just like, you mean all you want for me to do is be willing? He says, that's it. You be willing. I'm in charge. I'll take care of how it's going to play out.
Well, next week, and we're not ready to talk about next week, but it builds upon what we're talking about here. But let me just say, you know, words that come to mind in this conversation is forgiveness, restitution, the idea of making amends, the process of trying to make things right, letting God lead through that process, of course, but being willing to say, God, whatever change you want to bring about in me, I'm willing to talk about that with those that I've hurt. And so some of you right now are in the process of thinking through some stuff in your own life, because you know that you have wounded people along the way because of an addiction, because of foolish behavior or foolish decisions you made at certain times in your life. And God's speaking to your heart right now. You've got some questions. You're free to bring them here. Or you may have a story to tell, because you may have worked through a 12-step program and you've gotten to step 8. And God's shown you some things in the process of working through step 8 that you feel like sharing with us. Now's the time to do it. Any question, any comment about this would be gladly received. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000 if you want to join us here. It's 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. Let's hear from you. And we'll continue with Lisa Kratz-Thomas and Kathy Gray, co-authors of Light in Our Darkness.
From addiction, prostitution, abortion, codependence, and brokenness, to healing, radical grace, and freedom in Christ. Meet best-selling authors Lisa Kratz-Thomas and Kathy Gray, Sunday morning, April 7th at 8:30 and 10 a.m. at the City Church in Batavia. For directions, go to thecitychurch.com.
Yeah, and you heard me mention to one of our callers earlier, listen, if you are within driving distance of Batavia and you want to come meet Lisa Thomas and Kathy Gray on Sunday morning, April 7th at the City Church in Batavia, I hope you'll do that. Mary and I are going to be there, and a number of our friends are coming along as well, but we're going to look forward to being there when they have an opportunity to speak. Lisa will be speaking. Kathy will join her. And Marty McDonald, who's the lead pastor there at City Church, is actually filling in for me this coming Thursday here on NBL. So I'm sure he'll talk a little bit about it, but he's a wonderful personal friend, and it's going to be a great opportunity to meet these guys in person. Plus, I think, are you bringing any copies of the book, Lisa? Will you have some of those with you?
We will. We have copies of the book and a couple other things on our product table, so we will bring all kinds of good stuff that God has birthed through us to share with others.
Okay. I don't know if you're able to or not, because, you know, the 12 steps are largely what happens there is anonymous, but as you talk about your own story, you at some point, both of you have worked through step 8, maybe on a number of occasions, but in a practical sense, talk about the value of step 8 for you as a person. We said, you know, it's an inside job. God wants to do some work in your life to free you from some things. So how are each of you different today as a result of working through the process of step 8? And let me start with Kathy maybe on this one.
Yeah. So step 8 is simply making the list and becoming willing. So this isn't, next week we're going to have some super stories about, you know, the results of actually making those amends and how that turned out. But one of the benefits of doing this with a sponsor was I had a lot of fears about what's this going to look like, what are they going to say, am I going to, you know, lose relationships, is this just opening me up for a beating, and the process going through this with my sponsor, just making the list, first of all, it got a lot off of my conscience in that I knew I owed people amends. But just getting involved in the process of I'm really going to be doing this brought a lot of relief to me. And then just the encouragement from my sponsor's stories and other stories of how amends work and how God used them in our own lives and in others. It really started to chip away at that fear about fractured relationships. So that's just a little bit that I have from that.
Okay, and before we go on, let me just ask you a follow-up. I'm thinking of, you know, the passage in the Psalms that says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart," right? Mm-hmm. This idea that we ask God through the Holy Spirit to reveal stuff in us that we can't see for ourselves. Let's say that we sense that God's telling us that we need to go make amends to somebody that we've hurt. And God has revealed that. First of all, when you made your list, did you pray a prayer like that? That would be one question. But then secondly, for somebody who's not going to be a part of a 12-step group, they just happen to be listening to this conversation and God's prompting them, hey, you know, you really hurt some folks that you need to go make things right with. Maybe it's, you know, you left a church in a huff 10 years ago and haven't talked to some mm-hmm. people or something, and God's all of a sudden burdening your heart and maybe even using this conversation to open that door. Do you recommend sitting down with someone else and running the ideas by them as if you had a, quote, sponsor to help talk to you about this stuff before you just run off and, you know, maybe reopen old wounds that are outside the boundaries of what would be appropriate? I don't know how else to say that.
Yeah, no, Neil, I do. I definitely recommend that because for two reasons. One is that when you sit down with someone else, they can help you evaluate, again, what's your part, what's their part, and evaluate in front of the Lord, pray with you, look through scriptures. You know, the wisdom and the counsel of God comes in the company of two or three. He says the Spirit of God is there with us. But then the second reason is because, you know, it might not go so great. And then you've got someone who's been in on it with you who can encourage you and, you know, be a faithful friend with the fallout from it, or they'll rejoice with you. So I definitely think it's a vital part of this.
All right. Lisa, do you want to add anything to that?
Well, you know, the one good thing about creating this list is it was the beginning. These steps are about removing the isolation in our life, especially for mm-hmm. people who have, you know, real substance abuse problems, because that even isolates you more. And, you know, it helped me acknowledge that there may have been a reason for my misbehavior. I mean, there may have been. You know, I could say the reason I stole money from you is because I was addicted to drugs, okay? That's a reason, but it's not an excuse. And so what this helped me do was it helped me realize that I had done things wrong and I had no more excuses. And, you know, I heard once somebody said to me, it's like when you start to create this list and you become willing, let's say you're, you know, in the grocery store and you run down the frozen food aisle and coming around the other side is somebody who, you know, you've wronged in the past. Now, my natural reaction would have been, oh, I'm getting out of here. Let me turn around so I don't have to face this person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's
sure.
like, oh, no, I got to do this some other time. But what this list made me realize was I didn't have to run anymore, Neil. I became willing to do whatever God put in front of me. And whether I liked it or not, you know, there was just this realization that if I really wanted to get the freedom that they were talking about in those groups, that I had to do what they did. And so, and I can tell you, and we'll talk about those things next week. I mean, I had a couple that didn't go so well, but even those opened my heart and my mind to believing that God was in control and that he wanted the best for me.
Man, we have so much more to talk about. That is so good. Hang on here. We'll continue in just a moment. Lisa Thomas and Kathy Gray are with us. They're co-authors of the book Light in Our Darkness. You've been listening for quite a while now, and God's been speaking to your heart, I believe, in a variety of different ways. We could never fully measure what God is saying to any of you at this moment. You know, to know exactly how he's speaking to each individual heart is what I mean. But you have a question or a comment, and if it would be helpful to you to talk with Lisa or Kathy or just bring what God's saying to your heart to the table for conversation here, we'd appreciate it, and I'll tell you why. Because there are people listening right now who are going through a very similar experience to what you're going through or need to go through an experience you've already been through, and you don't quite realize the value, I think. I don't know that you always realize the value, because I know I don't, of how people can benefit by just listening in. And I think when we come back, maybe we can even talk about this a little bit, but through 12-step programs and 12-step ministry, there's a lot more listening going on than there is talking, and people have the benefit of hearing how God's power has been unleashed in their life and how they have encountered God in various ways and how God has begun to heal them and transform their lives. And those testimonies are so powerful in ministering to those who think, you know, they're the only one. Like, surely I'm the only person on the planet who's ever dealt with this. And then all of a sudden you start hearing people talking publicly about how God has met them in a very similar place, and we gain encouragement and strength from that. So your question, your comment, maybe even your testimony about this topic of conversation today is going to be a huge benefit to hundreds or maybe even thousands that are listening right now. 800-684-2848, 800-684-2848, 883-5000 in the greater Buffalo area. We'll be back with Kathy Gray and Lisa Kratz-Thomas in just a moment. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000.
Worship Wednesday is the day we get vertical on Neil Boron Live.
We're talking with Lisa Thomas and Kathy Gray about this issue of, well, it's step eight in the 12 steps, that we made a list of the persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. And I want to focus on the word willing again for just a second, because it seems to me that, you know, in the body of Christ, and let me even say it this way, even in the body of Christ, we're human, and we bump into one another, and there's difficulty that comes, and at times we wound one another with our comments or our actions or something. And I've met hundreds of Christians over the years that say, I want nothing more to do with Christianity because I ran into some Christians who really hurt me, really wounded me, and I'm just going to kind of do this thing on my own. Well, I think that's a huge mistake, first of all, because we were created to be in relationship and fellowship with others. But it also speaks to the fact that there was an unwillingness to address issues. I think I find great comfort just in the words here saying that we were willing to make amends. However God works that out in our life and wherever it goes from there, just the idea that we would let God speak to us about these things says so much, including that we're moldable, if that's a word, and pliable in his hands, and that he gets to call the shots, and that we're sort of saying, God, if you want to, you know, fix my life, then I'm sorry, if you want to address some issues in my life. Whoops, hang on a second here. I don't know what I did. I hit the wrong button, and I'm going to have to put you both back on hold for just a moment. For some reason, I can't disconnect a caller who will be on the air if we're not careful about it. Yeah, okay. Anyway, but just the idea that God has so much he wants to do in our life. But so many people are just, we close down with our pride. Kathy, you referred to it earlier. God's opposed to the proud, but we close down in our pride and we just go, those people were, I may have said some wrong things, but they were real jerks to me. And I am not going to address these issues with them. I just wonder if maybe each of you could take a second to comment from your own heart about how the world might be a different place if Christians lived with an openness to God and issues like forgiveness and restitution and making amends and stuff. If we actually lived this way, if we lived in this place, working through stuff like the 12 steps consistently, letting God speak in these areas of our life, how much different the body of Christ would be. So I don't know. Kathy, you grew up around church. You've kind of been there and done that with all this stuff. I don't know. I think that we're seeing a very limited view of what Christianity could be because we haven't trusted God enough to let him take us through this kind of thing consistently. I don't know. I think I'm off base. I don't know.
No, I think we build up all sorts of traditional ideas being in our churches and the particular culture in the church that we're involved in that are not scriptural at all. You know, scriptures are pretty straightforward, you know, the Matthew 18:5 and the Matthew 5, 20, I can't remember where it is, 25. Anyway, it talks about, you know, if your brother has something against you, go leave your gift at the altar and go go make amends with them, you know, make it right with your brother. And then the other one says, if your brother sinned against you, go to your brother. There's a lot of going to your brother and dealing with these things. And through, you know, Lisa hit on it earlier with the addiction, dysfunction, codependency, they're isolation makers. And these steps are isolation breakers. And I was just thinking about it a little bit earlier when you were talking, Neil. Proverbs 18:1 says, whoever isolates themselves seeks their own desire. They break out against all sound judgment. It's mm-hmm. just, you know, you were talking about not being involved in church because people have hurt you. Well, I think one of the things I love personally about the 12 steps is it takes it out of Christianese and kind of Bible land. And when I say Bible land, I don't mean the actual scriptures. I mean the way we've come to think about what the Bible says, which it isn't exactly what they say, what it says. And it takes it out of that, puts it in practical terms and says, take these steps and you will have a spiritual awakening and you will have something to offer others when you're done. And it is absolutely true. So, yeah, there's a lot built up in our minds that keeps us in this place, I think, by design, by the enemy, to deceive us into staying isolated. And we don't know how to break up. Say they did 95% like Lisa's sponsor. That's a horrible situation. That individual is responsible for gross sin. But her sponsor recognized the 5% that was his part, and he was willing enough to be right with God and man to take responsibility for that 5%, you know?
Sure.
And so I think we think in these black and white terms of it's all or nothing, and it's not. We have to just take, you know, it's very, Lisa used the term, we use this all the time in 12-step programs, keeping my side of the street clean. This is my responsibility. I need to keep my side of the street clean. So, you know, there's a lot of barriers to it, but it's really the way we get the deal done and walk in freedom.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, let me get to Pat in Buffalo real quick before our break, and then we'll continue from there. But, Pat, I know you've been on hold for a while. You had a comment?
Oh, hi, Neil. How are you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you for your program. Thank you for hearing and bringing forth message of post-stepping, something I've been involved with for many years. But my comment was about the capacity to love and how 12-stepping can really bring that forth. I had a situation in my own life years ago where one of my best friends was dating my wife. We were separated, and I had gotten such a hatred, and I heard you mention jealousy and jealousy over the situation, and I wanted to do physical harm to him, but God constrained me. He held me back from doing that, and I'm so grateful that I didn't, but it took me a long time to work that through, and the steps, of course, helped me to work it through, and finally, I got to the step 8, and I finally went to him in a public place and asked him to forgive me. And he did. He extended his hand to me, and he said, there's nothing to forgive, Patrick. You're my friend. And when that happened, it was like a rhema touch from God. Mm-hmm. And all the hatred and enmity and jealousy and everything else just evaporated, just left me. And I never had any bad feelings toward him since that time. It was just a total deliverance and healing of that whole issue.
Yeah, and how different your life might be if you were still carrying that kind of pain and bitterness.
Yes, and how it would have affected my children and his children and lots of other people, friends, 12-steppers that had looked up to myself in the ministry. And, you know, the ramifications can go on and on and on, but God knew that it had to be dealt with. And it was, and I thank God that I was obedient and finally let go of it.
Amen. Lisa, your comment for Pat?
Well, first of all, thanks for sharing that, because I think it's great. Reflection is such a great gift, isn't it, that God gives us to be able to look back and remember things.
you know, I was also thinking about this, is sometimes when we go through this, we have those feelings, and Pat alluded to this, that, you know, I'm not making amends to that person. I'm not doing that. And, you know, I know I went through a time after I did this step where, I had started a ministry in the area that I lived in, and it was for women coming out of prison. And it was tough. I mean, I had to really plow up some hard ground. And it ruffled some people's feathers, let me tell you. But I was doing what God told me to do. And I took responsibility for the things that were mine. But I'll tell you, Neil, I got hurt so bad by so many people, I can't even tell you. And it would come up in me often, and I would cry. And I can remember my husband would just say, "It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Let's just pray." And I would release it. I said, "Lord, I don't want to have resentments against these people. I need you to help me." And I'll tell you what God did for me. Some happened quickly, some was slowly, but there were times where people who had done things to me that were just, they were just totally wrong. They were lies. Whether it was a year or 5 years, God is our vindicator. And people would come back to me and say to me, "Lisa, I just want to tell you," they would make amends to me. "I am so sorry for the way I talked about you, how I treated you, how I hurt you. And would you please forgive me?" And I'll tell you, I couldn't wait to forgive them. I mean, I had already forgiven them in my heart, but this sealed the deal. Do you know what I'm saying?
Amen.
And so what God did with that was he showed me how I got to feel, I got to experience what it was like for someone to make an amend to me when they had hurt me. And I'll tell you, that's what he does. I mean, he never does anything one way. We think, "Oh, we're going to go do this. We're going to make amends because we're such big people and we're letting go and we're humble." And he's like, "I'm just using that as part of your story to show you how graceful and merciful I really am." So, yeah, Pat, good stuff, man. That's some good stuff.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Pat, for your phone call. We're going to be back and get ready to wrap things up with Lisa Kratz Thomas and Kathy Gray on this Monday edition of NBL. We got time maybe for one, possibly two more phone calls, maybe one. I don't know. We'll see. 800-684-2848, 883-5000. If you've been dying to call in and you haven't yet, now's the time.
Radio is not like television. Here, of course, you can't see the people who keep you company every day. Like the Zach man, for instance. So let me help you out. Zach looks exactly like his dad, only taller and skinnier and better looking. And so am I.
All right, let's get back to it here. We got just a couple minutes left here on this Monday edition of NBL, but Lisa Thomas and Kathy Gray, our guests, and we want to kind of tie a ribbon on step 8 here and then look forward to step 9. But let me ask you, first of all, I'll start with Lisa. Do you have anything else you want to say about step 8 that we haven't covered? Sometimes there's a prayer that goes with these things, or, you know, there's some other aspect that we haven't even looked at. And I wondered if you'd start in wrapping up step 8 here.
Well, yeah, I think one of the things we didn't give too much, we didn't pay too much attention to is the word amend. You know, there's a big difference between making an amend and saying that you're sorry. You know, sorry is a regret or a remorse. It's kind of sympathy. "Hey, I'm sorry I did that." But an amend is to revise, to alter, to change, to adjust, to adapt, to look at your behavior and not just say, "Hey, I'm sorry I did it," but that there's not only repentance, but there's also a change, an adjustment, a surrender to God that I am not going to persist in this behavior, so not to cause this pain again.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when I was out there, I mean, I can't tell you the number. I was always telling people I was sorry. Sorry I stole your car. Sorry I wrote a bad check. Sorry, you know, for a whole myriad of things. And it meant nothing to me, the word sorry.
Mm-hmm.
It was an escape hatch. And so I think that when we talk about making amends, that it goes a little bit deeper. It's not only saying that I am sorry that I harmed you and wronged you, but I am not, I am also changing my life and surrendering to God so that I never, you know, I don't intentionally do these things to you again and to hurt you and to hurt our relationship. So I think that's just something that, you know, words are really important and they hold so much power. And to make an amend is, you know, that's why Kathy and I were texting and how difficult I think it was Pat who was on, was talking about his, you know, his best friend dating his wife. I mean, that's some heavy stuff, man. I mean, and to not want to punch him out when you see him. I mean, saying you're sorry for feeling that way is one thing, but making an amend to vow to God and to that person that I'm not going to hold that offense so deep in my heart that I would react to it. And that is really some honorable stuff to me.
Totally. Kathy, your thoughts?
Yeah, no, that's so good, Lise. And we also talked about how, you know, what if we're not willing to make amends, you know, to someone that we know we've harmed them, but it's like you have no idea what they did to me, so that I don't owe that person an amend. Almost like what they did was so bad, we don't have to take responsibility for our part. And a lot of times what we'll do with that is, you know, like when we're sponsoring somebody or a sponsor, you know, said to me, okay, just put the name down and then pray for the willingness. Well, I'm not willing. Well, then pray that you'll be willing to even become willing. You know, I mean, one of the things we love about 12-step, because it's so practical, it's like, no, we're not going to let you get away with things, but we understand that this is a bit of a process. So.
Sure.
You know, we're in the business of miracles here, so just pray to be willing, to at least be willing. And it's amazing how I probably will never make an amend, move to, well, possibly to, yes, I'm willing, when God brings that person across my path.
It's just so raw and so real. Totally, I understand where you're coming from on that. All right, so step 9, what does that look like?
Well, this is where we're moving to. Step 9 says, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others.
All right, so figuring out the nuances of how that looks is a large part of what we'll be talking about next week. I so appreciate both of you being here and taking time to share from your hearts. It's been a big commitment on your part, but we are being tremendously blessed. So thank you both of you for joining us.
Well, we're
our pleasure.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you. All right. We'll be back with more next week here on NBL. Kathy Gray and Lisa Kratz Thomas, co-authors of Light in Our Darkness. You can find it at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, etc., or go to lisakratzthomas.com.